This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. It's Tech Talk. Karamjit Singh from Digital News Asia joins us as we get a look at the tech ecosystem here. A couple of stories in fashion, but before that, the revenge of the brick and mortars. Why is Sanheng getting into e-commerce?
Exactly, right? It's just a lovely story, I think. And actually, when I was speaking to... So three brothers were the founders back in 1989. Started with half a store. You know, you got to love that, right? Mm-hmm. And today, there are over 100 stores in the country. And they crossed 1 billion ringgit in revenue in 2013, right? Just phenomenal numbers. So I spoke to, I don't know whether actually he's the eldest, but Lim Kim Heng. And he was in a big data program with me, interestingly enough. Mm. And we got to talking about e-commerce. And I said, you know, what are you doing with all these merchants, and the large merchants, the rocket internets, who are practicing almost kamikaze pricing, right? Because their prices are ridiculous.
I'm just thinking about the margins.
Yeah. There's zero margin. They are subsidizing you for buying your stuff. So Malaysians have become like Americans. You know, we're a consuming society now. We've got more things than we need thanks to all these e-commerce sites out there. But anyway... He just smiled and listened. I said, look, the days where your store, like you're selling white goods, is numbered, right? And he smiled and he said, no, Karamjit. He said, we had two choices here in this e-commerce space. It was either we hide or, you know, we join the fray. And he said that of course, hiding was not an option. So he said, we decided to join e-commerce. 2013, they decided to. And imagine they're only launching their website, the e-commerce engine, July. So how long has it taken? He said what they did is they first started with what are our strengths, guys, as a company, what are our strengths, and decided that their physical outlets is actually a strength of theirs, one. And they also decided that the fact that, according to Lim, they are the largest single buyer of many categories of digital products and even white goods, right, from the big brands. Harvey Norman is a competitor. From your, like, Robert Bosch.
Right.
The Robert Bosch, those who actually make your Samsungs, your Hitachi, you know, and all that. We are their largest single customer. So there is no way we will not get the best price from them when we buy, you know, product versus the e-commerce merchants. And he made another point, which is very interesting. This is all about traditional business. He says, look, when you buy, it's very sexy to say you buy in consignment, right? Consignment means the e-commerce merchants have no inventory. They only buy a product when someone has bought it. But guess what? The brand owner, when you do on consignment, there's a cost for them.
Yeah.
And they pass that cost on to you, meaning the product they sell, that washing machine they sell to you on consignment, will cost more than the washing machines, you know, bought by Sanheng up front.
Yeah, because it's retail cost. Exactly. It's a real estate cost.
Yes, absolutely. And holding cost too for all of them, right? They got to get machines ready for you. Whereas Sanheng buys those, you know, products up front and they store them in their warehouse. Now, so basically they've got, so I use the word warehouse. He said that they felt that logistics was a very important part of the e-commerce strategy, simply because the moment the customer gets the product is when, you know, they're satisfied, right? Because you order it online, the experience may be good. You get a voucher, a coffee bean voucher, whatnot. But you're waiting for the product you've ordered.
Yeah.
And he says that they've invested 50 million ringgit in their logistics, you know, fantastic, right?
And this is, was the history. I think, I don't know if their history was in SS2, but I remember one time there were all these little small mom and pop shops, and they've all disappeared. And so I think they really had to go very aggressively with opening a lot of outlets, and now that has become a strength.
That's exactly. Yeah. Over 100 outlets. He didn't want to tell me exactly how many outlets, but they've got a lot. So it's absolutely just interesting to see. And you know, he says, so they're doing an O2O. So big picture, the strategy is, Frida, O2O, which means online to offline. And he says that he guarantees nobody can deliver the product as fast as they can, you know, if you choose to order online and pick up, you know, yourself. Because if you want to pick it up yourself, you pick it up the next day. And this is where him investing in having 12 warehouses in each state in Malaysia. I think Malaysia has 13 states. I don't know which state. Maybe Perlis he missed out on, right? No disrespect to Perlis citizens there. But anyway, 12 warehouses. And which means that when you order, he can make sure that, and if you pick a shop in one of those states, you know, his warehouse in that state will make sure that that device or that, you know, fridge or washing machine is in the store when you say you're going to go and pick it up. So for you, it's fantastic, right? If you say that, deliver it to me, please, Seng Yang, it'll be done within 48 hours.
Well, it'd be interesting to see when you say in the 12 states. La,
yep.
Sabah and Sarawak, because it's Sarawak, when you say I order in Kuching, it's a different matter to say.
Different proposition,
so, yeah. It's, you know.
Maybe it's in Kuching. La. I guess it may not be in Miri if you're going to order something in Miri, right?
Okay.
But to me, it's great, right?
Yeah, it is.
Like he smiled and he said, you know, from the outside, we may look like a Chinaman company, yeah? And I had to laugh at that. But we're actually a very aggressive and sophisticated company under the hood.
Under the hood. And this is Kim Heng, la.
Yeah.
The brothers?
Seng Heng. So the other two brothers, I didn't ask their name because I was only talking to Lim. But they're obviously out there involved in the business in some way. And, you know, can you imagine they start from half a store? And what's interesting is, Frida, which just totally knocked me out, he said that, look, retail in Malaysia doesn't attract top-tier talent. We probably attract second, third-tier talent. So what do? Do you keep complaining about it? You know what he's done? He went through he went through an MBA, all right, with the University of Southern California. And he liked it, and he got the university to tailor a specific MBA program for Seng Heng, right? Mm. Only Seng Heng staff attend. And he has sent 100 of his staff so far through the MBA program. So, of course, when you send your staff through, the first question we as Malaysian ask, so what's the bond like? And he said, there's no bond, Karamji. I said, what? Are you crazy?
That's astounding.
Astounding, right? No bond, okay? All of you out there listening, there's no bond. And I said, so what's the rate of people leaving? He said, 50% of the people then leave. But you know what he says? If your heart is not in this company, I'm happy for you to go. I want to keep those who appreciate what I've done. And those who have gone, I say, I consider that my national service, because I'm equipping people with a higher level of capacity. They go out and they'll be better managers or leaders in other outlets. I say, wow. The story has got so many other facets to it.
Right.
So
have a read about
that. Yeah, you have a read to it. It's not up on our website yet. It's just hot off the press, but coming up after lunch.
Coming up after lunch as he sits in the office.
As I said, Ovedo, Aswan's a link there, don't worry. It's in good hands.
So we're going to move to fashion. This is a hot
sector. Oh, no, that's fashion we do last.
Yeah. Valiram.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Valiram, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, Shara Valiram.
I disrupted you.
Again, three brothers.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Running the Valiram Group High Street Fashion Empire, speaking at your upcoming What's Next conference, right?
Yeah.
So what will he be speaking about, and when's What's Next? I know you want me to ask that.
No. So What's Next is on the 28th of July. You can go to the DNA website. But what's interesting is... not free, yeah. No, but look, you know, you've got people like Valiram Sharan, right, speaking, and he's going to talk about, you know, when high fashion and high tech collide. So what happened to those two worlds? So I don't know, because they are trying to do something. To what extent, I don't know. Because their business is fascinating, right? Their dad started out once upon a time, like in the 50s or whatever, with a textile store. Mm. And then they pioneered the concept of retail in airports, you know, in Subang or Frida. I think you know the story, right? This was new to me. And then now today, they run one of the largest outlets in Changi Airport too, right? They've got like an 18-year contract, which is coming up, and I think they've got a renewal. But they pioneered, you know, high street retail in airports, throughput area. They've got amazing brands. But this is a very, especially when it comes to their clothes, right? It's a very high touch, right? Personal business. And so what happens? And he recognizes that people are increasingly wanting to shop online. So it'll be fascinating to of course, he's got still 10 weeks to prepare for his presentation. But I'm very interested to see what he has come up with, you know. And it'll be great, right, for him to come. And so the reason why we're getting a brick-and-mortar guy also is because this conference is targeting brick-and-mortar companies, right, large ones, as to how they can deal with digital disruption.
Yeah.
And, you know, come on, you've got Tan Sri Vincent Tan as a speaker, which is incredible, correct?
Mm.
Combine his private and his public companies have 24 billion ringgit in revenue a year, Frida. Mm. And he's going to come in and talk about, you know, the title is, you know, a digital disruption from the lens of an old economy tycoon.
Well,
so
okay.
He's not going to speak on stage, like, you cannot expect that. But I'm going to have a conversation with him on stage about what he sees, what he worries about, and what are the opportunities. Because he's been investing in technology since the mid-1990s.
So you've got the Valiram Group and Berjaya joining.
And we've got you know, Accenture joining as our knowledge partner. And I love, you know, what the comment Janet Yap said, that, you know, it's going to be a good platform, she says. You know, for organizations to exchange insights and impact of technology and business. Right. And the organization, just one last point. It's great that we have brick and mortar companies coming and sharing their experience with digital and not tech people. Because, you know, you bring in the Microsofts, Oracles, and IBM, they're going to say, you know, what you expect them to say.
They're going to do tech speak.
Yeah. But whereas these guys are
in
the trenches.
I'm surprised you didn't get Seng Heng in.
Seng Heng, It's actually, you know what? Somebody in the team mentioned that to me also. So maybe we've almost got all the slots filled up, but it'll be so inspiring to listen to him. Fantastic story there.
We'll talk a little bit about Singapore, a bit of fashion, and Asohan. Asohan's latest rant. After this is Tech Talk, BFM 89.9.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
It's Tech Talk. Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. Karamjit Singh from Digital News Asia sharing with us the stories of the tech ecosystem, regional tech ecosystem. We're moving on to Singapore. Fantastic and fascinating development from Singapore. Taxpayer money going to billion-dollar companies for them to invest in startups.
Yeah, exactly.
And Singapore government,
too much money.
Too much money.
What a nice problem to have. What a brilliant situation to be in, right?
What to do?
So I think on a serious side, that's a large size of money. No, on the serious side, it just shows how the government takes the fact that, you know, what's happening in the startup world will impact brick and mortar businesses. And so they've come up with, and they want their brick and mortar businesses to be more aware and more in tune with what's going on. So they've given $10 million Sing dollars, which comes up to $30 million US, right, to four of their large local companies, right? You've got Capital Land, DeCloud, which I'm not familiar with. Wilma, I think we all know it's in the, you know, palm oil industry. And then you've got YCH. So Capital Land, of course, a property company. And, you know, the amazing thing is that each of them is supposed to set up a venture capital fund. Yeah? Only one of them has already set up a fund. And the others have not. And they're going to be, it's really asking them to go out and focus on your niche, right? So for Capital Land, they're going to focus on design, construction, you know, maintenance, customer engagement, everything that your property, not your property portals, don't do that. The property portals focus on very specific areas, right? Like iProperty and Property Guru, they focus on the agents and on sellers, right? Some focus on buyers. I coincidentally met the head of a property company, a real estate company, very famous person in Malaysia, you know the name. He's invested in his own startup, right? And his company,
who?
I cannot tell you yet, because he's not ready. He kind of excitedly met me over the weekend, and then his CTO said, "Your boss, you're jumping the gun. As an entrepreneur," he said, "I cannot wait around to get this out there. I want to disrupt the market before I'm disrupted." Fantastic, right? Just like what Seng Heng said, be the disruptor and not be the disruptee. Is that a word? That's kind of a sexy face.
Yeah, I guess.
But so for these four companies, right, they're brick and mortar companies, so they're going to get money and they're going to focus on their space. And like logistics, YCH is logistics.
Okay.
And they're going to focus on the Uberization of logistics and Internet of Things, 3D printing, big data, robotics, fintech. It's a mind-boggling thing. But just at a high level, you look at it as a citizen, you say, hey, the government
you
is giving taxpayers money.
You've covered all these different sectors.
Yeah. Yes. Our government is giving taxpayer money, right, to companies which are already doing very well financially. You know, why do you need to do that? And again, comes up my first point. Government is afraid that these companies are just not moving fast enough to appreciate and to understand the changing dynamics of the business world, you know, triggered by a lot of startups coming up. And, you know, for those of you who are not aware, you should check out wilddigital.com, and that crazy guy, Patrick Grove, is organizing this insane, you know, internet conference. End of this month, amazing. First week of June. Amazing stuff going on. Incredible speakers coming. Absolutely fast. The price of tickets will kill you. I think you see them, but it's an amazing conference to go for. So just check it out if you can.
So,
it'll just give you a real sense of what's about to come. I think I may be exaggerating it slightly, and I'm excited about this because I cover this space. Yes. So take down whatever I've said by a huge dose of salt, but still go. Check out Wild Digital, and then maybe hopefully you check out What's Next or so, and you'll see the amazing balance and what's going on in the world with brick and mortar companies, with the disruptors, which Patrick likes to call the small fish. And look at now what the Singapore government is doing, right?
Right.
$10 million Sing dollars for four companies which don't need the money from them. But the government says these guys are moving too slow. We cannot wait. They're like the entrepreneur I met the other day, right? The government is acting like it's an entrepreneur, right? Move. Here's some money, right?
Okay.
Now no excuses not to move.
So interesting, Capital Land, design and construction, operations and maintenance. So that's their core business.
Yes.
Wilma Group, which is agribusiness. They're looking into agricultural, genetics, plantation management tools. And of course, technology company DeCloud will focus on big data analytics.
Drones also, right? So they're very open. So it's great for all these startup entrepreneurs out there, right? Suddenly you've got these four companies, they're willing to listen to your pitch.
and logistics company YCH yep. Group on the logistics internet IoT 3D
Uberization of logistics.
Yeah, which is okay. So you've basically mm-hmm. covered all your bases.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So it's kind of interesting to see, and I'm wondering what the reaction will be from public also. They're saying, hey, why do you need to give them this money for? Very real reason why they're impatient. These companies are not moving fast enough, and the argument from the government could be that look. You know, we need to trigger our companies to move faster. And this being private commercial entities, you know, only money makes them talk. So we're saying, here is our money. And now put up some of your money and go and engage with these guys. And it's going to be good for your own business. Fascinating.
We'll move on to Asohan's latest rant on the startup ecosystem. What now? What's his topic? Startupism 101, yeah. Lessons learned.
So he says he started by saying, yes, I know there's no such word. And maybe it's destined for the lexicology waste bin. But startupism is good. And it really talks about the fact that a lot of things that sometimes, and you sense that people in the startup space seem to think they're superior, they're special to everyone else. And now, while on this show, we always do say that entrepreneurs are a special breed just because you have the guts to go out of your comfort zone and try to do something, right, to make a difference. It's a scary place to be in. But Aswan has seen that maybe in the tech, the startup space, they add an extra dosage of sugar or whatever to whatever they're taking, right? So he says, Kool-Aid is no substitute for revenue. And then, you know, he starts off by saying, you want to build a sustainable business, it's more important than building a business from which you can exit. Build a sustainable business. And someone add a comment to the fact that they love the fact that he said, look, you know, you guys think that what you're doing is great, you know, but look, you think you're a special one. But a lot of people do bold things with their lives, and it isn't always about business and making tons of money, right? And I think you use something about you. There are also people who are doing like social entrepreneur stuff, right?
Yeah,
that's very important. And someone commented that I say it's very important because he said there are people doing far more important work than you guys and getting paid a pittance, right? Imagine nurses, paramedic, teachers, firemen, NGO staff.
Yeah,
but he's if you just look, trying to bring it down.
But if you look at social enterprises as well, I mean, let's look at some good examples where there is money to be made. The original social enterprise was the Body Shop.
People forget about it because it's all economy, right?
But social it is the Body Shop. What they started was a social enterprise, and they, you know, of course, they sold the shares, and I mean, they sold the rights, whatever. So you can make Tom's Shoes. They are making money. So there are a couple of these, and it is you do make money, but at the same time, you're doing something
for a tangible cause, right, that impacts people's lives. Yeah, so Aswan is telling the guys in the startup space, hey, you know, just chill. You're not as special as you think. A lot of people out there doing some stuff.
He's such a dampener, I tell you.
Yeah, he is. And, you know, so, but some basics also. Sometimes, so it's a great article. And I think they talk about just because you've taken the leap into entrepreneurism, you haven't suddenly been transformed into the special one, you know. Even Jose Mourinho, he said, turned out wasn't that special after all, right? A lot. It's not about just making money. And then one of the interesting things I like is that, you know, failure can be good and we need to accept that, but some failures are bad because no matter what they say, some entrepreneurs never learn and move on to their next venture, blaming everyone else for their first failure. So the idea is you take the failures as a platform, but if you move on and you've not been put off by your past failure, but you're blaming everyone else while you're building the next company, that's a really bad sign.
Yeah.
So watch out for that. When you got someone coming to you looking for money and they're brandishing the fact that they failed in their first business, and yet suddenly you're hearing that they're blaming everyone else, whoa, you know, huge red flag there.
No good. Yeah. Okay, so we're back to fashion again.
Oh, yeah.
This is what, out in Hong Kong, another startup raises money in the shopping and fashion space.
Yeah, so they're going to marketplace, right? And it'll be for e-commerce shops and Instagram boutiques. So very interesting that we've not had a lot of stories coming out talking about how people are leveraging on Instagram as a shopping channel. But it's very effective for the younger generation, very visual in nature. Mm. And I think we should do a story on how, you know, much e-commerce is going through Instagram, right? So, unfortunately, we have no visibility there. But since I've now brought it up on air, we'll try to do something in
Because I've
space.
Been talking to a few people who are selling on Instagram. My goodness.
You're just raking it in, huh? Income tax, take note.
Simple jewelry. No, I mean, Annabelle Koh from La Juiceria. The juice, cold press juices, right? So whenever they post...
Oh, cold press juices, whenever
She says she's tried all the media, Facebook and everything.
Okay.
And somehow with Instagram, you get people...
More traction.
Yeah.
Wow. Hers is that younger crowd below 30, right? I don't even think I'm comfortable saying above 30, right? And I know the joke is that because all the parents now moving onto Facebook, the younger crowd needs another platform that we are not on, correct? So everybody, my God, so many people above 50 I know are on Facebook, use that on a daily basis, hourly basis. You know, I was speaking at a conference over the weekend, and on Tuesday, a high-powered executive who was there said that, send me some pictures that she took of me on stage, and I said, can I share this on Facebook? And I said, hey, wait a minute, don't do it now. Like, it's 11 o'clock in the morning. Like, everybody's caught up in the rat race. Do it at night or do it on Friday evening. So I hope she does. So that, it struck me, right? She's a senior-level executive, and 11 o'clock, you suddenly got a small pocket. They say, hey, can I share this on Facebook? And it's not work-related also. Mm. It shows how all of us in that 50 and above, you know, category have nicely co-integrated, right? Work and play, you know. In our, it's no more about balance, right? It's just okay.
So this is a Hong Kong-based company, Gossip.
Yeah. Oh, but you know what? Why is this interesting? Because the money was the $1.6 million was seed round was raised by was led by you want to say the name?
Daughter. Yeah, it's called Crisis Tan.
Oh, her name is Crisis Tan.
Yes, it's spelled C-H-R-Y-S-E-I-S.
Yeah, Crisis Tan. I think the dad speaking at my conference, I don't want to mangle the daughter's name on air. Thank you, Frida. So, Frida, I said the name, yes, Tan Jr. And she's the daughter of Vincent Tan. Fantastic, right? So that tells you how much the dad is also supporting his kids, right, to try out this other platform, which is going to be the platform of the future. So it talks about who some of the investors are. And you know, their core product is a shoppable Instagram app. So it's an app that's based on Instagram, and you know, you can just help people shop. I think it's interesting. So this company is called Gossip, which is kind of interesting name. I think it's a combination of gossip and exit, right? Maybe.
There's,
I don't know.
Gossip.
Gossip, as in G-O-X-I-P. So kind of intriguing name there. Yeah. So they're going to enter the Malaysian and Hong Kong markets in the second and third quarter of 2016. So this is what is also very interesting about this space, folks, is that you've raised money without actually having launched your product, right? Mm. And of course, if you're the daughter of a tycoon, maybe the rules of normal business don't apply to you. But for the vast majority of you out there, you're going to have to invest sweat equity, your own money in there to launch a product. And you know, and before you're able to get investors to put their money in with you. Yeah. But this is going to be very interesting to watch. You've got a picture of the co-founders, right? Juliet Jimenez and YC Lau. So, by the way, the round is led by Vincent Tan's daughter, but she's not the co-founder of this company, okay? So, when I said you got to launch a product first, so the founders of Gossip, Julieta Jimenez and Chief Product Officer, are very lucky that they've managed to raise money before launching the product. Mm. So, also because I think Tan Jr. is obviously of Gen generation, and maybe she just gets it about what they say, right? She doesn't need for them to launch it first.
So, you can get hold of that article there.
Which one?
This article, they're all available.
Oh, yeah, all available.
All available on digital.
All available, except for the singing one that's coming soon.
All right. So
I also got excited and spoke about it first before we ran it.
Wow. So that's all from Karamjit Singh, Digital News Asia.
Yeah, Frida's excited.
Thank goodness. Tech Talk, BFM 89.9.
Chakade.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.